Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 31st of July, recording at 9:29 p.m., and that's British Summer Time. Now, first the highlights today. The Asian stock market performance was rather muted. There were a number of modest gains, although China was down, and I think that's exerting a negative leash effect in the region. And also yesterday I'd posed the question saying, would Asia be more influenced by Wall Street's rally, or would it be more influenced by the rally that we saw yesterday in crude oil prices? And it clearly appeared to be the latter, with crude the bigger influence, and I'm not And that's not surprising, really. The European stock markets were down, then they were up fairly strongly, but then gave up those gains as Wall Street weakened following the poor economic figures, the GDP growth coming in slower than expected, and the unemployment figures being higher. And then there were some dodgy profits, or say disappointing profits, both from Exxon and MasterCard. Those are the two that are being mentioned on Bloomberg today. Wall Street took a big hit and fell, so this is choppy action continues, with the Dow closing down 205 points. That's 1.78%. And the S&P down 1.31%. The NASDAQ barely unchanged, but we had the pretty much a retracement or a little bit more of yesterday's gains that we had seen. And long-dated government bonds were firm, particularly treasuries, against that background. The U.S. dollar, this was quite interesting because it weakened sharply on the GDP figures, but then rallied, recovered. For instance, the euro got up to 157. It had a low earlier today of 155.69, and it's only 30 points above that right now. And the dollar index is that's still down a little bit on the day, 73.22. Gold has had quite a lively day. It had been as low as 905.80, but then rallied up sharply on the weaker dollar at a time when the oil price was also rallying. Got up to 925.70 and is currently 913.63. That's up 7.5, but nearly $12 off the high. And we had similar action in the other precious metals, all up on the day, but off their highs. Industrial metals are mixed, some modest gains and some modest losses here today. Soft commodity sugar, which was strong yesterday. Sugar has been on a roll recently, and good gains in here again today. And corn was down a little bit. Okay, crude oil. Let me talk about crude oil and natural gas. Crude oil had rallied up to 127.89, then fell back. It's currently at 124.11. That's down 2.66. And natural gas is down 13 cents as I speak. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, obviously, stock markets are still pretty nervous, which is hardly surprising. And we have the focus on inflation from central banks. That's going to continue until we see that, or unless we see that oil price down lower, I suspect. So the inflation concerns are still there, although the trend of crude, of course, has been good since the peak that we saw earlier this month. There's a fair amount of uncertainty out there. Not surprisingly, global GDP growth is still slow, and the credit crisis in the West rumbles on. So all of these factors are keeping investors a bit edgy, which is not surprising. The other side of the coin, we have some pretty good value overall. Markets became terribly stretched, moving down to their lows in the middle of July. We've had a good rebound by the banking sector. Okay, most of that was short covering, but it shows how overextended those banks actually were. And technically, now we do still seem to be on course for technical rallies, but I would want to see, just take the European and the U.S. indices and a good many of the Asian indices, I would want to see Monday's reaction lows hold. Monday's reaction lows, I've mentioned them in every broadcast. You can see those easily enough on the charts. Now, looking at these long-dated government bonds, they will continue to take their cue from stock markets. If the figures indicate weaker economic growth and stock markets sag on the weaker earnings reports, then we will see those long-dated government bonds be quite steady overall as people fear recession. Conversely, the better stock markets do on the upside, the more those bonds will almost certainly come off. But don't be surprised if we just get a lot of ranging activity in here. And don't be surprised if we see that in a good many of these stock markets as well. I don't see the conditions for another meltdown such as we saw from mid-May through to mid-July, and partly because the oil price is no longer spiking on the upside. That's one good reason. The other factor is that was pretty climactic, that move, and we're unlikely to see a replay of that anytime soon. What we're more likely to see is a further unwind of the of that medium-term oversold condition that did develop. So I think overall we'll see lots of ranging activity. Now, you and I, as I never tire of saying, can only deal with what the markets provide, and I think that those who want to buy don't need to chase anything up, but there is value around, I think that those who are worried about some of the more apocalyptic forecasts, don't worry about it. In the sense that we can't even get a retest of the lows without taking out Monday's reaction lows first. So I don't mean to sound complacent in that, but when you get a bounce and you see indices starting to move upwards, and that ought to allay fears at least temporarily. And I regard, of course, the financials as a lead indicator. They would have to go back down and break their lows. They're a long way off those lows, and we would need to see the other indices take out their lows. All that happened when stock markets started to go through their March lows, not that many of them had all that much follow-through on the downside following those breaches of March lows. And as you know, the rally that we've seen during the second half of this month took a number of indices back up to those March lows and actually above them to a small extent. And we are probably still unwinding an oversold condition, meaning that the conditions for technical rally are still there. Wall Street's choppy activity is unnerving, but it is typical of what we do see at bottoms and tops. Now, in the metals sector, again, I lightened up a little bit on gold when it rallied strongly in here today, and particularly when I saw the dollar starting to lose some of its gains and the oil price beginning to come off from what had been its rally earlier in the day. Expect the choppy activity. in precious metals, if you deal in the futures, which I've been trading, I think it's still a case of don't pay up, buy the reactions, lighten on the rallies. I don't always do that. To my chagrin, I get excited by some of the rallies and think, well, I'd better have a little bit more, and usually get whipsawed when that happens. If you are a long-term investor in gold and bullion funds, well, you can just sit back and ignore the ranging and watch the tennis or whatever else appeals to you. Or the Olympics. The Olympics are be coming up soon, and they will include some tennis as well. Or you can do the same tactic of nibble a little bit in those bullion funds on the declines and lighten a little bit on the rallies. That has been a successful money-making machine for quite some time. The influences on gold, main influences at the moment, are, as we've discussed before, the US dollar moving inversely, and also the price of crude oil, which is a bigger influence on gold than gold is on crude oil. That's usually been the case. Overall, my longer-term view is that gold is still too cheap relative to oil. What I say for gold will apply to silver. Palladium and platinum are a little different. Both have suffered a fair amount of technical damage. And you remember it was the power outages that caused the squeeze on platinum supplies. I think that was at the beginning of this year, or maybe even late last year, but it ramped the price way, way up. And I have long regarded platinum is a lead indicator for gold bullion, so the lead is not positive, which is another reason at the moment, which is another reason why I do expect further ranging, but we'll probably see a steadier performance in the fourth quarter for gold, as is so often the case. Now, what else to mention? Crude oil. I think it's natural for it to bounce around a little bit above this $120 level. That's an important support level, and one that we pointed out almost daily. It's the one that I would regard as confirming a medium-term correction, but I think we've got all the ingredients there, all the factors that would indicate a medium-term correction, except for that break under the 120. And given that gold fell straight down to that level, it's hardly surprising that it messes about down here a little bit. And natural gas has seen the bigger fall, and by far, and that I wouldn't be surprised if that saw a little bit of a technical bounce. I nibbled there today, didn't time it particularly well, but at least I was not paying up with in terms of the big move that natural gas has seen recently. It really has been hit hard. And what else to mention? I think that's pretty much it. But that dollar, I just meant to comment on that US dollar again. The dollar is, it was a bravura performance here today against that economic background, which indicates that the strong side of the US economy, as I've mentioned all along, is the exports. And were it not for the exports, then we would see the US in certainly in recession and possibly in deep recession. And I think that's likely to remain the case. But the risks to the US economy are still on the downside, I hear, and see a lot of optimistic comment, as you would too, I suspect. But again, I think it's it's too soon to expect the US to pull out of this. So again, this dollar performance against that background is fairly impressive. But it is up near the higher side of its range, and it's a big ask for gold to push through those ranges on the upside and maintain, let alone extend those gains. And I think that's pretty much it, so I'll just say all the very best to all of you.